The Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News, a ministry dedicated to the truth revealed through Jesus Christ, encouraging listeners to stand boldly as the King's return is at hand.
As a kid, I had a hard time imagining the year 2000, but now we're more than a quarter century past that, as 2025 rolls into history. According to surveys, only 10% of Americans felt it was a good year. 20% thought it was a bad year, and 28% thought it was a terrible year. The rest just responded that it was okay or said they were uncertain. Other polls found nearly half of Americans say their financial security has worsened in the last year. People are deeply concerned about inflation and having to adjust to a lower standard of living. What's more, young Americans are finding it difficult to afford rent, and young married couples have found even modest starter homes are well beyond their reach now. Other areas of concern include political tensions, corruption in government, a failing healthcare system, the fear of economic collapse, cyber terrorism, the possibility of wars escalating, and the growing epidemic of violent crime nationwide. But let's go deeper and take a look over the past year to remember things we may have forgotten and the things many never will. The year began with the Pacific Palisades fire in Los Angeles County, fueled by extreme winds and dry conditions. The blaze destroyed thousands of homes and structures, and at least 12 people were killed. January also marked the start of Donald Trump's second term in office. He signed 70 executive orders that month alone, including 6 on his first day, one restoring freedom of speech and ending federal censorship, one restoring names that honor America, one defending women from gender ideology extremism, one ending radical DEI programs across the federal government, one ending federal funding for elective abortions, and one prohibiting the creation of a central bank digital currency in America. The newly formed Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, made major headlines as it slashed bloated budgets and uncovered obscene wasteful spending and fraud within government agencies. This was led by Elon Musk, who took a great deal of backlash from liberals opposed to his working with Trump. Those who formerly supported him wholeheartedly, along with his Tesla electric vehicles, began protesting, calling Musk and Tesla owners Nazis while vandalizing Tesla cars and dealerships. By the end of May, Musk and Trump had parted ways, and the Department of Government Efficiency was officially dissolved in November. So much for that, but it looked good for a while. On January 29, we also witnessed one of the deadliest aviation incidents in history, as an American Eagle flight on approach to Ronald Reagan National Airport collided with a U.S. Army Black Hawk helicopter on a training flight. All 67 people on board both aircraft were killed. Other big news of the year included the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency, or ICE, finally starting to enforce immigration laws. An estimated 350,000 illegals were deported last year, while others with violent crime charges were detained. But millions of illegals remain and likely always will. In July, the Trump administration officially opened a detention facility in the Florida Everglades, which came to be known as Alligator Alcatraz because of its high security in guarding what was called the worst of the worst illegal alien criminals, those who've committed rape, murder, arson, drug running, human trafficking, and were gang leaders. Of course, the never-ending protests against Trump continued last year. Millions participated in No Kings protests in June and October. Protesters were angry about Trump's stifling of DEI programs, the arrest and deportation of illegals, sending National Guard troops to assist police in cities like D.C. and Chicago, and attempts to stop government funding of abortions, among other things. The protests against ICE turned into violent riots in many places, especially Los Angeles, where violent clashes between protesters and law enforcement took place. Rocks, fireworks, and other objects were thrown. Vehicles and property were destroyed, and large crowds blocked major streets and freeways. By mid-June, around 4,100 National Guard personnel and 700 active-duty Marines were called in to restore law and order. The LA riots alone cost millions of dollars in damages. The 4th of July weekend saw catastrophic flooding in the central Texas Hill Country. As a tropical storm stalled over the area, river levels surged more than 20 to 30 feet in a matter of hours. The flooding caused at least 135 deaths, including at least 27 children and counselors at a Christian girls' camp. On September 10th, Charlie Kirk, the founder of the conservative youth organization Turning Point USA, was gunned down while speaking at an outdoor event at Utah Valley University. Liberals cheered and celebrated his death, but TPUSA reported receiving tens of thousands of inquiries from students and schools about starting new chapters in the weeks that followed. To give you an idea as to the scope of this, there were 32,000 requests within 48 hours of his death. And yet, the Foundation for Individual Rights and Expression reported at least 300 protests last year, with college students attempting to disrupt, block, or cancel conservative speakers on campuses nationwide. Many of them turned violent, most notably at UC Berkeley in November. And socialist mayors were elected in Seattle and New York City in November. There are now socialists in positions of political power in 40 of our 50 states. 48-year-old Portuguese national opened fire at Brown University in Providence, Rhode Island on December 13, killing two and wounding nine others. 2 days later, he fatally shot an MIT professor in Massachusetts. The alleged shooter was found dead of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in New Hampshire on December 18. This is certainly not a complete list of notable events in 2025. I could also mention Israel, Gaza, and Iran, Russia, and Ukraine, the Biden AutoPen scandal, the heavily redacted Epstein files, the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, the implementation of Real ID, the rise of AI, and much more. But suffice to say that 2025 was another year of turmoil, violence, lawlessness, and disaster. I can understand why people are so unhappy. Despite our best human efforts, we must understand that we live in a nation that's abandoned God, and therefore we're reaping what we've sown. Unless we repent and return again to worshiping and serving the Creator rather than the creation or the false gods of our own imaginations, things are not going to get any better. But I'm concerned that even those who do know and serve Jesus as Lord and Savior are suffering from depression and giving up the fight. The other day I saw a short video clip of a Christian woman stating she's done with everything in this world and just ready to go home to Jesus. Her joy of living is gone, and apparently she's done trying to be salt and light in a world ruled by Satan and his demonic angels. That's a bad attitude to have, but I understand it. I know how discouraging it can be and how all the bad news and horrible events that happen can wear you down. But understand, it's a spiritual battle, and Satan uses fear and discouragement to immobilize God's people and cause them to hide and be wholly ineffective in the battle. Instead, we need to fear not, stand firm till the end, occupy until Christ returns, and take back the ground the devil has stolen. And yes, that is possible. You know, internet news sources thrive on bad news and scary headlines, and the powers that be behind the curtain continue to pull the strings to socially engineer hearts and minds for their own purposes. So-called news organizations use clickbait to get people to read their stories. These are sensationalized headlines designed to draw you into a story that has little to no substance. But the latest thing now is called rage bait. These are stories designed to create division and hatred among Americans, stories that serve only to enrage one demographic against another. It's all manipulation. Don't fall for any of it. Just maybe we need to begin looking at things through spiritual eyes rather than carnal ones, and come to understand that if we as Christ followers give up the fight, give in to discouragement, anxiety, depression, and deception, we will have become good for nothing except to be thrown out and trampled under the feet of men. Read Matthew 24 and understand the times we're living in. And take note of verse 13, which promises, "But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved." Also, we need to really examine our churches, pastors, and teachers. Don't follow the teachings of men who like to nuance scriptures to fit their own agendas. Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And today we have many Bible prophecy teachers finding seals, trumpets, and bowls behind every new news story. Their predictions can be sensational and exciting, even if they're not true. But true or not, those erroneous teachings sure make a lot of profits for the self-proclaimed prophets. I get it. We'd all like to know the future. And it's good to be aware of the signs of the times and sound a warning to the lost and perishing. But it seems the most popular so-called prophecy teachers are the ones who basically tell you it's all over. Nothing to do now but sit and wait because the latest news story proves Jesus' return is any day now. I've seen at least three prophecy teachers present their proof that his coming will occur in 2026. What did we read in Matthew? Many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Please, don't misunderstand me. I'm waiting eagerly for our Lord's return too. I'm not a scoffer, as we read about in 2 Peter 3. There shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" But I believe our job is to make sure our lamps are always filled with oil. In other words, we're to be ready to meet him every day. Because today may be that day, whether today is the day of the Lord or simply our own personal appointment to meet him. On a bookshelf in a place of honor in my home is a mantle clock. I inherited it when my parents passed away. That clock was in our home my whole life as a kid. But it was broken, and my dad was never able to find a repairman to fix it. So it was relegated to a side room and all but forgotten. When it became mine, I took it and had it fixed. I was in my 50s before I ever heard it chime. The clock is special because it belonged to my grandfather, a devout Christian who emigrated here from Ireland. On the front of the clock is a plaque stating it was presented to him by a Protestant organization he belonged to, and it reads, "On the occasion of his marriage, September 21st, 1910. That clock is now 116 years old. It still keeps pretty good time and chimes beautifully every hour, as long as I remember to wind it. And after 116 years, time is still ticking away nonstop. My grandfather was a great and respected man of God who won many souls to Christ, but I don't remember him at all. His personal appointment with the Lord came when I was just 2 years old. I also inherited his Bible, study materials, and notes. He was an adamant student of Bible prophecy, and throughout the entirety of his life, he believed the rapture was imminent. His headstone reads, "To reign with Christ." His wife, my grandmother, passed away before I was born. Her earthly body now lies next to his, and her headstone reads, "Be ye also ready." And so should all of us at all times. None of us know what 2026 will bring, but we know from Romans 13 that now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Beware of fake predictions, fake messiahs, fake prophets, and fake news. Stick to God's word, and don't just sit and wait for the rapture. Instead, in this new year, keep your lamps filled with oil and be about your Father's business, working diligently for his kingdom, and let nothing stop you, even as the clock of your life and God's great heavenly clock continue to tick away the seconds that lead us all to eternity.
This has been the Truth Commentary with Rob Pugh, publisher of the Wisconsin Christian News. Find us on the internet at wisconsinchristiannews.com. Questions and comments? Email Rob, R-O-B, at wisconsinchristiannews.com.
The views expressed are those of the speaker.